Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, and Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640, and they'll send you a couple of guys. So welcome to another action-packed edition of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Now I'm setting the bar high, and Brian looks like normally, he's ready to go for this.
Yeah, it's normally thrill-packed. So
thrill-packed.
Action-packed, I don't know what to expect. That may be more than I can take.
That may be, maybe. So we'll just have to ratchet down the caffeine level.
Well, if you say so.
So.
Is that why you don't have your cup out here?
Yeah.
We can get Chris to bring out another cup here, buddy.
Well, yeah, we're actually recording this in the afternoon. We usually do morning, so I absolutely have to have coffee in the morning, so.
Well, you may need to have something here in your hand just to, you know, just some kind of a prop, you know.
A crutch.
Yeah. There you go. I'll get you through the show.
So
you were at the GOP thing, the Polk County GOP
Polk County Republicans,
thing.
Yeah. We had, Bobby Jindal came, and they had it was a smaller crowd, about 150 people.
And they let you in.
They let me in.
Yep. That's a good sign.
They actually let me talk to Governor Jindal, so they didn't keep me away.
That's good.
He was well received, and I think it was a good event. Generally, their events are, at least in the past, have been a little bit bigger than that. They only had, you know, like I said, I think about 150. So it was more of an intimate gathering.
Who all else spoke at the event?
Mary Mosman spoke.
Okay.
Let's see. Senator Grassley wasn't able to. Paul Pate, Secretary of State-elect Paul Pate. Came down with the flu and was unable to come. Joni Ernst wasn't able to be there. David Young spoke to Congressman-elect David Young. So I think it was just right. It lasted about an hour and a half, and that was perfect. So
you didn't go to sleep, is what you're saying.
I didn't go to sleep. Yeah, so that was good. And I was sleep deprived the other day, so that was awesome. And then Governor Jindal gave a press avail before the event, and we have coverage of that at caffeinatedthoughts.com, where he talked about how kind of similar to what he said with our interview last week, how he didn't want to see insiders in the GOP decide the nomination, that this talk of clearing the field to, you know, for the chosen nominee, chosen
candidate.
See, they
used to call that the smoke-filled room, but in today's non-smoking environment, I don't know what
you
call it.
Now it's just like, he's the most electable. He's the person that, you know, people like. He's the person the media likes. He's the person the Beltway likes. So everybody else just... This person, I think some people are setting this up for Romney, I guess this would be 3.0, since... since it'll be his third time.
That's a scary
thought.
He
says he's not running. I hope he sticks to that. We really don't need Romney in this race. But Jindal, he said...
See, right now is where we need that sound effect. And we do not have it ready.
Oh, I know.
What were you thinking?
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to remember
Romney?
That.
Romney? He sucks.
All right. So, then... You okay?
I'll be fine.
All right. So both Jindal and Rand Paul, and we'll talk a little bit about this next segment, Rand Paul, both basically said, hey, the more people in the race, the better. And I agree. I think I like to have a crowded field because, you know, we don't see enough presidential candidates here in Iowa. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on that note.
Anyway, your wife's got a new ride.
She does. She does. And now I have mortgaged my entire life. The way I ran the numbers, and I think I can probably retire this debt now 7 years after I'm dead. So, you know, but my wife got a new ride out of this deal.
All right. Well, your kids said, Dad, what's our inheritance debt?
We had to do this. I mean, you and I have talked about this before. I've got a fleet of vehicles. They're all over 200,000 miles. Some of them are actually over 300,000. A couple of them are pushing.
You can only be so frugal.
Yeah, I had to do something, and it's a very nice vehicle, and my wife was very pleased. So
good.
I did something good.
All right. Well, on our newsmaker line here, we have Brenda Knollenberg. She's the director of Agape Pregnancy Center. I wanted to have Brenda come on to talk about her organization, Agape Pregnancy Center. It's one I've been familiar with, but I suspect a lot of our readers may not, or readers, if you read our blog, but also listeners for radio. I got to get out of that print mindset here. They may not be aware of what Agape does. So Brenda, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be on the air with you guys.
Thanks for coming on. And what does Agape do?
Well, we are a pregnancy center. We're located in Des Moines, right on Martin Luther King Jr. Parkway in between Douglas and Hickman. And we do pregnancy tests and STD tests and pregnancy confirmation ultrasounds. We sit down with girls if they don't know how to proceed with their pregnancy and talk about all their different pregnancy options and support that's available to them. We have parenting classes. We do adoption referrals. So just a lot of different services that we can offer. And all of our services are free. We don't charge for anything. And so this has been a big support to the Des Moines community for the last 30 years since 1985.
Oh, I guess I hadn't realized it's been around that long. So on average, about how many clients do you serve every year?
You know, this year we have had more than last year even. I want to say that we are upwards of 600 clients. Now, we see some clients more than once because they come for our parenting classes. So
sure.
We're over 1,000 client visits for the year, which is pretty huge. So, which is really great because our parenting classes, you know, they're getting really good instruction on how to be a good parent. Some of them either have not had that modeled in their life for them, or maybe they have, but they're younger. And it's really good instruction. And I tell people, I wish it was around when my kids were little. I would have loved to take these classes.
No doubt, because, you know, if you're going to learn to drive, get your driver's license, you need to take driver's ed. Brian's like looking at me, where are you going with this? It'd be nice if you know, there's no parenting license, and it'd be nice if everybody would get some instruction. Now, obviously, where you go to get that instruction is vitally important. Brian, do you have something to say about this?
Well, no, I was thinking that I could go get you a shovel just in case.
I could dig myself out if I get in a hole. Yeah.
Yeah.
So... No, I worked with high risk youth and for about 14 years, and I saw the results of some bad parenting. So
the problem is we all think that the way we were parented is the way you're supposed to do it, you know, because that's what you had modeled for you. So if no one is teaching you anything different, that's what you think is the norm. And so that's what I love about our parenting classes, is just giving kids better tools on how to handle difficult situations with their kids.
Absolutely. And that's very helpful, because really nobody, well, except for maybe a handful of people, have, you know, when their kids are born, say, hey, I really want to screw up my kid. They usually have good intentions, and they do love their children. It's just something you're right. They just haven't had appropriate role models, and they're not sure what to do. Thank you for doing that. I'm kind of curious, as far as the different alternatives that you talk about with these, with ladies that come in, if they're facing a crisis pregnancy, we hear a lot from, like, say, Planned Parenthood that, hey, we're pro-choice, we're teaching, you know, we're giving all the options to our clients. But yeah, it seems like if you look at their own reports that all of their clients are choosing abortion, which I find odd. What do you think about that?
You know, we do talk about all of their pregnancy options here when a girl comes in. We talk about parenting, we talk about adoption, and we also talk about abortion procedures and risks. We don't ever recommend or refer for abortion, but we feel like if a girl is considering that, she needs to know what the procedures are and what the risks are. We also offer pregnancy confirmation ultrasound to give her three vital pieces of information when she's making a decision. So the pregnancy confirmation ultrasound is going to show fetal cardiac activity. Okay, is the heart beating when the heart is supposed to be beating? Because if not, then she possibly would miscarry and would not need to make a decision regarding abortion. Is the pregnancy in the uterus? If not, she needs to seek medical care immediately, because an ectopic pregnancy can be life-threatening.
Absolutely.
And then the gestational age of the baby, because that determines what type of abortion she might be considering and what type of risks. And again, that is free. And so we sit down and we talk to girls, and we go through with the ultrasound, and they can, if they want to choose to look at the screen, they can. And most of them do. We don't turn it on. We ask them if they would like to. And I believe it's about 50%, 50 to 60% of our girls that are extremely, you know, they're set on abortion when they come in after they've talked to us and see the resources that are available and look at the ultrasound that they are offered. Those are the ones that walk out, and we know that they have chosen to a life-affirming choice. Sometimes we don't know, and they'll come back. We had this happen not too long ago. We saw the girl was very abortion-minded even after all of our counsel, and she came back probably about 8 months later needing a car seat because she was getting ready to deliver in a month. So,
Awesome. That's great.
So we don't always know when they leave what choice they're going to make, but we feel like we're giving them all of the information. And you know, so that they can just really make a good choice.
I think Shane's exactly right. The stuff that I see from Planned Parenthood is, and their promoters is, we provide all of these services to these people who need it, and what would they do without us, and so on and so forth. And I can't speak to the other services that they provide, but one of the things I remember in the research I did was that if you were pregnant when you went to Planned Parenthood, the percentages were extremely high that you were going to walk out of there again having had your pregnancy terminated. I've forgotten now what the percentage was. It was something in the neighborhood of 90%.
Yeah, because they'll say, we can take care of this right now. By the way, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have Brenda Knollenberg. She's the director of Agape Pregnancy Center. Brenda is talking about, you know, crisis pregnancies and teenage birth rate, because a lot of your clients, are they in their teens or early 20s?
Kinda? Right. The majority of our clients are between, I would say, 15 to 24 would be the majority.
Okay. Well, on Sunday in the Des Moines Register, there was we only have about 5 minutes to talk about this. We'll have to get through it quick. There was a article written about how teenage pregnancy rates have plummeted, and I'm just going to quote a little bit of it. It says, a recent national report from the Guttmacher Institute, which they never indicate in the article that actually is a part of Planned Parenthood, but anyway,
right,
which studies reproductive health, said the teen birth decline is mainly because of increased and improved use of contraceptives. Teens are not becoming dramatically less sexually active, the report says. They're also not having more abortions, but they're having fewer babies. And they said this is the highest teen, and this is what struck me in this article, the highest teen birth rate ever recorded in the United States were in the late 1950s and early 1960s, when the grandparents or great-grandparents of many of the current teens were in high school. It's true that teen couples were more likely to get married back then, Boonstra, who belongs to the Institute, said, but it's also true that many of those shotgun weddings in which boyfriends were pressured to marry pregnant girlfriends. What are your thoughts about that article? Because it doesn't sit right with me.
Right. You know, when I read that, something that came to mind, I always like to get my information from the CDC or National Institute of Health if I can, just because I think a lot of their stuff is very credible. It's scientifically based. And they came out with something. It was in 2012, but it was a long-term pregnancy risk assessment monitoring system from 2004 to 2008. And what that said, it came out in January of 2012, that of the teen pregnancies who give birth every year, and I want to say it was about 400,000 teens each year, half of those were not using any birth control, and the other half were on some sort of birth control. So it's kind of like an even number of those that weren't using birth control and those that are. And so it just is interesting to me that, you know, that they're attributing this to birth control. Rather than, you know, maybe kids are more abstinent now than they used to be, making better decisions, waiting until later to have sex, which is, we encourage that they wait till marriage, but
sure. The
longer you can put it off, the better off, the less likelihood that you are going to have an unplanned pregnancy. So I think that, and you know, I just wonder about the statistics. Did they count married people when they counted the 50s and 60s?
Yeah,
because a lot of teens, people got married when they were 17, 18 years old.
Exactly.
Much more than now. So,
you don't have the second adolescence now. Your adolescence has been stretched on to like 29.
Most definitely.
So, Yeah, it's you know, abstinence. That's the only form of birth control that's 100% effective.
That is exactly right. Yeah. I can guarantee you, if a girl comes in and she's on birth control, I will say, you know, I can't guarantee you that you won't get pregnant. The only time I can guarantee you that you're not going to get pregnant is if you're not having sex.
Absolutely.
That is the only guarantee.
And that's the only 100% safe sex as well.
Exactly.
You will, if you're abstinent, you will not pick up an STD, you know,
right.
Period. And unfortunately, these groups that say, well, we talk about abstinence too, but yet they said, oh, it's just that it's unrealistic, you know, so they kind of downplay it. It's amazing to me. We're almost out of time, and I just want to ask about, what do you have any volunteer opportunities available that our listeners might want to hear about?
And what about what about funding? Is it how are you funded, and what can be done there to help raise funding?
Oh, yes. We are funded by groups and individuals. We do not take any state or federal funding, so everything
Yay.
Comes from private individuals, yes, and or groups like churches and different community organizations. So if you're interested in supporting Agape, there are a couple ways to do that. We have a website called supportagape.com, and it's just, you know, all together, supportagape.com, and you can go there and donate electronically. We still receive checks, so you can mail those in, and our address is 2550 ML King Jr. Parkway in Des Moines, Iowa, 50310. As far as volunteering, we have lots of different opportunities, and so on the website, there are some places that you can contact us regarding volunteer opportunities. So if you go to Support Agape, just let us know what you're interested in, and we can plug you in different places. We have some volunteer opportunity that takes a lot of training, and some that takes very minimal training.
Great.
And pretty much everywhere in between.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Brenda.
Well, thank you for having me.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. You've heard me talk about how Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management got my business insured when no one else could. But Tim also insured my home and my family's automobiles. And just the other day, Tim told me that he had a 3-week stretch where he saved 3 different local families $1,000 per year or more on their insurance. And he said this is not an uncommon thing. So naturally, I said, sign me up for that. Tim Hibbing is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff house, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Fortress Wealth Management and Insurance Services in Ames. Call Tim Hibbing at 515-290-9000 for all of your insurance needs. And make sure you let him know you heard about him on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. So
good things.
Yes.
It. Yeah. No, I was digging around on the web and pulled up these numbers on Planned Parenthood. We didn't get to that in the last segment, but here are the numbers.
96.5% of services given to women who are pregnant when they go to Planned Parenthood are indeed abortions.
Wow.
So the number was over 90%. 96.5%
That's
of
incredible.
Services given to pregnant women were indeed abortions.
Man.
So, I mean, they're not talking to anybody there about keeping a pregnancy.
No, they're abortion industry. They're just like, you know what? We can take care of this today. Unless your state happens to have a waiting period.
No, I mean.
And Iowa does not, which is something, that's a common sense thing Iowa needs to implement. Because, frankly, if you're going to terminate a pregnancy, if you're going to kill a baby, you at least should have a couple days to think about that. You know,
one would hope. All right, here's the other numbers. Abortion services account for 38% of Planned Parenthood's revenues.
Crazy.
Last year, I guess this would be 2 years ago now, 329,000 of Planned Parenthood's patients received abortions. I mean, forgive me. People are not going there for all kinds of other services.
No.
I mean, they can talk about that from now
until the cows
come over the hill.
They don't provide health care.
If you if you're pregnant and you go there,
your likelihood is
you have a 0.5% chance of walking out of there with that baby still alive.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Enough about that, but I dug up those numbers.
I was going to say, on the positive side, Jeb Bush is... the only time you're going to probably hear that sentence strung together out of my mouth on the podcast. But it's definitely better to talk about him than abortion mills. So, not that,
okay.
that's setting the bar really low.
Oh, boy.
All right. Anyway, he is seriously exploring, or actively exploring, I can't remember exactly how he phrased it.
Seriously exploring.
A run for president. So he's... Officially announced that he's officially exploring.
Yippee! Yippee!
I love how this exploring. I'm like, what have you been doing the past year? It seems like you've already been exploring and considering and talking about. Now, this is really a fundraising gimmick. Because there's when you set up an exploratory committee, in this case, he's doing a leadership pack. It just allows them to raise funds. He can give to candidates. Then now his own leadership PAC can only donate to his own campaign about $5,000, which is actually a lot lower than I thought. But here's the trick that a lot of these candidates do. They'll donate to your campaigns, and then if you have leadership PACs, you'll donate to my campaign, and that's kind of how they get around all that. So then leadership PACs can also...
mutual back scratching going on.
Absolutely. And leadership PACs, while they may not be able to directly donate to a campaign, there's a lot of different things that they can do. They can help establish a ground game. They can help promote the candidate. So there's things that he can do with that to promote himself. That, and he's also built up goodwill among other prospective candidates, which might lead to endorsements, yada, yada. Anyway, he's officially, he says, in January, I plan to establish a leadership pact that will help me facilitate conversations with citizens. I wonder if they're going to say anything about Common Core. Across America to discuss the most critical challenges facing our exceptional nation. The pact's purpose will be to support leaders, ideas, and policies, and fundraise. Oh, he didn't say that. I'm adding fundraise. That will expand opportunity and prosperity for all Americans. Anyway, the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier basically said Jeb Bush likely to shake up field in Iowa. Okay, Governor Terry Branstad said this is news. Where the first votes. This is news. That's a profound statement. I can't believe they quoted him on that. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the newspaper, would it? No, it wouldn't be. Anyway, the announcement came as something as a surprise for some Iowa GOP insiders. Not so much that he's announcing, but the time of it, because it is kind of early yet. Branstad says, I'm surprised that it's this early, but I guess we've been hearing rumors for some time that he was seriously thinking about it. It wasn't rumors. He was talking about it. Anyway, Also, Tim Albrecht, who used to be a the press person for the Branstad administration, said, "I'm surprised that it's this early, but I guess we've been..." Oh, I'm sorry. I'm rereading Branstad's quote. He says, "By making his intentions known this early," Albrecht said, this is a direct quote, he said, "Bush automatically becomes a front runner, if not the front runner," according to Tim Albrecht.
Everybody got their barf bags handy.
A veteran of numerous Republican campaigns, because Tim has obviously... did some polling. No, I mean, I wonder who Tim likes. Interesting. Anyway, here's a direct quote from Albrecht. "By getting in early, he will shake up the field and influence the timeline of other candidates. Bush's announcement likely will force some other candidates, would-be supporters, to make decisions about who they'll back." Not really. No, most people, your average voter will not, they're still wondering October, November. Seriously, you're gonna have a ton of undecided still, or they might be a soft support where they could still change their mind. But
all
nobody's
right,
gonna say.
I got a question here,
okay.
Buddy, because I don't get this. What other than name recognition, which in his case is both a positive and a negative, but other than name recognition, what on earth does this guy bring to the table?
Well,
how is it anybody gets excited about him? I mean, And the guys that are getting excited about Jeb Bush would probably want Mitt Romney to run again, would they not?
Sure, probably.
I mean, seriously, I don't. Where's the attraction?
Here's one of the primary attractions. If I were to get in the heads of these people, basically, in general, he's a governor, a former governor. I think two terms, maybe two and a half terms. I think he came initially into. No, never mind. I'm thinking somebody else. So Lee served two terms, so he has a lot of executive experience, and that's something that's generally that people will say, "Hey, yeah, that's something I appreciate. I could look for," considering what we've dealt with the last 8 years, and we've seen the result of somebody not having experience coming into the White House.
And that's very true.
So
I get that, but again, we can go back to Romney, and there's a guy who has just as much administrative experience. At a number of different levels.
Sure. Yeah.
Some
people say Jeb Bush was a successful governor. I don't really know his record all that well as governor of Florida. I do know he implemented a lot of education reforms, which the verdict's still out on that. I don't see Florida necessarily topping the nation in NAAP scores. I think Massachusetts pre-Common Core is probably a better model of good education reform than some of the things at Florida. What he did do is really you have increased the high stakes testing culture in Florida, which has given a lot of people heartburn. And he's been a pro-Common Common Core supporter from the get-go, which Time Magazine, even though some Republican establishment folks won't say it. Time Magazine says that. He says basically this is the issue that complicates his campaign. Jeb Bush loves Common Core, they wrote, very first sentence. The Republican base hates it.
That's about the first time they've written something that I could really get behind.
Exactly. And they're so right. They said this support leaves Jeb Bush in a tricky position. In order to win the Republican nomination, he's going to have to win over the Republican conservative base, which hates Common Core with the fire of a thousand suns. The easiest way to do that would be to disown Common Core.
A thousand suns.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. But that's not likely to be in the cards. No, not likely. But though he is distancing himself from it, he doesn't talk about it nearly as much unless he's directly asked. But he tries to avoid the topic. So I find that interesting. Rand Paul, he's not going to let Jeb Bush drop the topic because Rand Paul's probably, the senator from Kentucky. He's another guy that's going to likely run. He fired a warning shot in an interview with the Washington Post. And this isn't this is the first time he's done it directly with Jeb Bush. He said the former governor's support for Common Core education standards would be a big problem for him among conservatives in a Republican primary. I think most conservative Republicans think that the education should be more at the local and state level. So, yeah, I think it would be a big problem, Paul told the Washington Post in a brief interview. Anyway,
All right. Now, I have a similar question here about Rand Paul. Does anybody know what this guy stands for anymore? There was a time when you could see a more Republican version of his father.
Sure.
That guy had disappeared. So yeah. I don't know who the new Rand Paul is.
I know. Some people, he needs to just be consistent. That's a great question. It's a legitimate question. He's been kind of all over the map lately. Made some, his endorsement of Mitch McConnell, made some head scratch.
How many of his father's, rabid followers from a few years ago are going to be just all over Rand Paul?
He hurt himself with some of his base, but on the other hand, he may have gained some supporters by some of his positions. So it's hard to say. Anyway, Rand Paul said basically, the more the merrier, which Louisiana Bobby Jindal said, Governor Bobby Jindal said at that press conference I was at. I'd like to play, we got a little time left, play the clip from that press conference.
Establishment picking our leaders. What I'm talking about is some folks have suggested, you don't want to have a lot of candidates fighting each other or debating each other, or, it may be messy if they end up disagreeing. You know what? Democracy is messy. And that's the way it was intended to be. And it's better than all the alternatives, as Churchill famously said. What we don't need is some super smart committee getting behind closed doors and saying they're going to pick our leaders for us, our nominee for us, our candidates for us. We don't need that. And you've heard some folks in the Republican Party, some voices saying, you need to clear the field, or you don't need to have as many debates, or you don't need to have an open and honest exchange of ideas. I think it's nonsense. I think the more people that want to run, the better for the party, the better for the voters. I think ultimately it'll strengthen our nominee. I think ultimately it'll make them not only a better candidate, but ultimately a better president as well. So I think that if there are others that are thinking about running, I hope that they'll seriously consider doing it. And again, I am partial to governors.
I wonder why he's partial to governors. I'm partial to myself, especially. Vote for me. No, he didn't say that. But
he's right, though. I mean, the job requires, as you pointed out just a few moments ago, the job requires administrative experience. We've seen what it's like when we got some rookie up there who has no idea what he's doing.
There's no learning curve getting in the White House, especially now. Not after all the garbage that whoever ends up taking over the White House will have to undo and fix from 8 years of President Obama.
I'm sympathetic to the notion of a governor.
Me too.
That experience goes a long way.
But there's very few governors that I'm really excited about right now because they've all been mainly on Common Core. They've been really squishy. Medicaid expansion, been really squishy. There's been some people floated around Ohio Governor John Kasich. No way. I mean, it's – but on one hand, if Chris Christie gets in, I'm not a fan of his. If Jeb Bush gets in and John Kasich gets in, that's actually would be nice because now we've got several establishment candidates who might cancel each other's votes out. Maybe split up the moderate vote for a change. That would be nice.
Well, it should be an interesting – I mean, if we really see that 18-person field that you mentioned here a couple of weeks ago – if we really see that, it's going to make for some interesting debate.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to necessarily see 18, but it's going to be crowded. And I think I agree with Bobby Jindal. I think the more, the better.
Is still talking about running.
Yeah, I'm not too excited about him either.
But he's going to bring...
Other than he has some great sound bites.
There's going to be some serious entertainment value.
Exactly. We'll have
he's
going to
say stuff that other people won't say, even if they're thinking it. It's going to help.
Yeah. Yeah, so
nobody's going to vote for him.
He tweeted out anyway. It's like, no, we don't need another Bush, and it was like retweeted like 500 sometimes. So I've not heard anybody excited about Jeb Bush getting in.
And what about Romney?
No.
Where's that soundbite?
Except perhaps maybe his campaign staff from last election. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff House, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. You've heard me talk about how Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management got my business insured when no one else could. But Tim also insured my home and my family's automobiles. And just the other day, Tim told me that he had a three-week stretch where he saved three different local families $1,000 per year or more on their insurance. And he said this is not an uncommon thing. So naturally, I said, sign me up for that. Tim Hibbing is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, Brian Myers, and in this third segment, we come to just our kind of our news roundup section of our weekly program.
News you can use.
News you can use. Hopefully you can use.
Hopefully you can use.
Anyway, just a federal judge rules that Obama immigration actions are unconstitutional.
Imagine that.
We're shocked.
The opinion filed Tuesday by U.S. District Court Judge Arthur Schwab in Pennsylvania. It's the first court opinion to tackle Obama's immigration announcement. He said that Obama's immigration actions are invalid and effectively count as, quote, legislation, unquote, from the executive branch. Hoorah! We found a judge who got it right.
Yep. I'm sure if we had President Romney, though, we wouldn't have that.
Romney, he sucks! Hey!
We just had to play that.
Romney, he sucks!
What happened? Though? We didn't get
the
Romney
off.
Part
yeah.
there.
Anyway, we tried.
We always mess up these beautiful moments with technical glitches.
I was trying to throw a softball to Ron, and Ron messed it up. Ron! Sorry. No,
oh,
kidding.
Oh, man.
Romney, he sucks! Hey!
There we go. All right. No, we can... President Romney, if there were a President Romney, he would not have done this executive order. Surely... the heavens would have, the sun would have been shining on the Romney White House, and all citizens would be pleased.
Romney, he sucks! Hey!
Except for that lady, anyway. So,
hey, listen, whatever you may think of the Mitster, he would not have done this.
No, he
confident
wouldn't have.
He would not have done this.
He would have done some other crap.
Oh, he would have done some other
stuff. But
oh, yeah, yeah. No, this is beautiful what the judge wrote. President Obama's unilateral legislative action violates the separation of powers provided for in the United States Constitution, as well as the Take Care Clause, and therefore is unconstitutional, unquote. I mean, the guy nailed it. That's...
Yeah.
Hello, this is it.
Yep.
Somebody say it. And he
Very
did.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, he can, you know, he can... You know, he's within his rights as a chief executive to... set priorities for INS, whether we agree or disagree. I mean, he can do that, but yeah,
Well, and the way he's doing this too,
amnesty that essentially what he's offering is totally unconstitutional. He has no right to do that.
And the way he's doing this, we've talked about this before. This is not an executive order. He's done this by memo.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the way he did some things through the Justice Department. You know, didn't require an executive order. You know, he basically has Eric Holder out there saying, well, we're just not going to enforce the law.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's great work if you can get it. But
yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, south of Florida, we've got some new news here. Mr. Obama wants to normalize relations with Cuba.
Now, would Romney do that?
I just
okay.
Probably okay. Not either. No, I have mixed feelings about this. On one hand, because I see we have relations with some pretty despicable regimes, and it's
you
kind
mean
of
like the state of New York.
Yeah, exactly. And California. No, seriously. When you
I was serious. Sorry.
We've Saudi Arabia. They've got some pretty bad human rights abuses. China, bad human rights abuses. But there's been a political shift with Cubans. Used to be especially with the people who first came from Cuba after Castro took over in the late 59, I think it was, or maybe it was 60. I can't remember exactly. No, it was probably 60. Anyway, they were very anti the Cuban regime, very anti, normalized relationships. That softened with future waves of Cubans that came into the country. Now, it used to be mainly, I think, because of the Bay of Pigs fiasco, majority of Cubans were Republican. Now that's pretty much a 50-50 thing. So you're not necessarily hearing the outrage from Cubans, at least not yet. Maybe we will, that you would have heard before.
I suspect you're going to hear that.
You probably get it from some, but then some will say it's fine. Now there's some. I think there's some things that can be done that should be done, like lifting the travel ban for family members. I think that's common sense. Why are you penalizing people living here in the United States from being able to visit their own family that live in Cuba?
But listen to what the White House is saying.
Sure.
Quote, "These 50 years have shown that isolation has not worked," Obama said in remarks from the White House. "It's time for a new approach." Okay, forgive me. What hasn't worked? I mean, tell me what has and has not worked here. We have managed to cripple their economy for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
From my perspective, we've punished them, and they continued, to have the Castros in power. What hasn't worked here? I'm quite happy with it.
Yeah. Yeah. If they're looking for success of this policy is regime change,
these guys are going to die probably within the next decade.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're going to have a new brand of communists in there that might be a little more sympathetic to reform.
Maybe not. But why would you do this now? Okay.
Well, because President Obama wants to have a legacy.
Exactly.
Certainly not going to be Obamacare.
No, this is the kind of thing the Castros are likely going to die sometime, in the near future. Let's just let this lie. I see absolutely no reason to change the.
Sure. You could do some for like lifting travel bans for family members and things like that. I don't necessarily. I'm not saying we need to have an embassy.
Yeah, but here we go again. Here's the president. "I do not believe we can keep doing the same thing for over five decades and expect a different result." I don't know what.
Depends on what you want the different. What result are you expecting?
Yeah,
obviously, he wants, kumbaya. He wants to hug it out with Mr. Castro, evidently.
Yeah, I mean, he apparently admits that he's got serious concerns about Cuba's human rights record. Okay. And I guess he thinks that the fact that hasn't all turned into sunshine and lollipops because of our policy, then sure. Now somehow we have to give him a hug. That's just insane. The way my way of thinking, anyway.
Yeah, I would, maybe
what do
say,
I know? I live 50 yards from a cornfield.
If you do X, Y, or Z, I will work toward helping lift, economic sanctions. But you have to do X, Y, or Z. And I think we need more than seeing one prisoner being released as a show of goodwill. Let's see actually some democratic reform.
Well, I remain unconvinced that this is anything other than, like you say, an opportunity for him to do something different and in hopes that he could, have some sort of legacy in hopes that he could have some sort of actual policy victory. I really think that's... forgive me, I'm very, very skeptical about this.
And frankly, the sanctions aren't going to be lifted because Republican Congress won't do that.
No.
And I suppose he could probably, as chief executive, open up an embassy. I don't know if he needs congressional approval for that. Well, actually, if he wants to appoint an ambassador, I think he does. Senate needs to confirm. good luck with that. Oh, and that's my phone ringing. I have a phone call.
We have one last item to cover. We'll just spend a little time on that, and that is this tragedy in Pakistan where the Taliban massacred 148 people.
That's just
absolutely incredible. In a day-long battle, the Taliban, I guess there were seven Taliban gunmen that were in a day-long battle with the army commandos, and they were eventually all killed. But before they got killed, they took out 132 students with an overall death toll, you know, after you calculate the staff, the adults involved, it's 148. In addition to that, there's 121 students and three staff members that are also wounded.
That's just
unspeakable.
They're cowards. Absolute cowards. This is, you know, the religion of peace. Anyway, we could say more about that. We don't have time. Will this Caffeinated Thoughts Radio? We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. You've heard me talk about how Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management got my business insured when no one else could. But Tim also insured my home and my family's automobiles. And just the other day, Tim told me that he had a three-week stretch where he saved three different local families $1,000 per year or more on their insurance. And he said this is not an uncommon thing. So naturally, I said, sign me up for that. Tim Hibbing is a young man who grew up in Ames, who went to Iowa State, and has been in the insurance business for nearly 10 years. He's low-key and no pressure. To get a quote, call him or even text him at 515-290-9000. That's 515-290-9000. Call or text Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management. That's 515-290-9000. Tim Hibbing of Fortress Wealth Management.
I'm Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I wanted to say a kind and encouraging word for Caffeinated Thoughts. Shane Vanderhart, since 2006, has been delivering consistently on his website conservative Christian constitutional viewpoint without apology, without hesitation, a clear analysis. We need his bold voice. It's a great place to go to get your news. It's a great place to go to get the analysis of the news from that perspective, a Christian constitutional conservative perspective.
Recently, my family moved into a new house, and we needed a couple of guys to help us. So I called M&A Moving and Hauling. At the Roloff house, maybe like at your house, moving day can be stressful, so you don't want just anyone handling your personal belongings. If you've ever had your church family help you move, then you know what it's like to work with the team of M&A Moving and Hauling. So next time you need to move, call M&A Moving and Hauling at 515-490-2640. They'll send you a couple of guys. 515-490-2640.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by M&A Moving and Hauling, serving all of Central Iowa for your moving needs. Call 515-490-2640 and they'll send you a couple of guys. It's our last segment. And we want to wish George Whitfield.
You should hear the applause.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, yeah, we need to have an applause line that we can just play. Anyway, we want to wish George Whitfield a happy birthday. Who's 300 years old. Not really, because he's dead. But
thank you. Yeah, 300th birthday on December 16th.
Yes.
George Whitfield. I believe it was Martin Lloyd-Jones called him the greatest preacher ever. Now, I take that to mean other than, of course, the Apostle Paul and Peter and the Lord Jesus. But no, he obviously held George Whitfield in high regard in terms of his preaching and his oration. Guy was incredible. I mean, the Lord used him, you know, in really, really incredible ways, both here in the colonies, and then also back in Great Britain. Everywhere he went, he would just have this massive group of people come to hear him preach.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, in this country, Benjamin Franklin was one of those guys
Benjamin Franklin didn't make any pretense by this point in his life about being a Christian, but he wanted to come hear Whitfield preach anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
He just loved hearing the guy preach.
He was the 18th century version of Billy Graham.
He might have 3,000 people show up in a city just to, you know, hear him speak from, you know, a corner, you know, street corner someplace.
And which is phenomenal when you consider this, they didn't have the, you know, the logistics. They didn't have the way to get the word out like we do today.
Right.
It's just to have that many people just show up. Hey, this preacher is in town, and just how people came to know about him word of mouth, and how, you know, the media of the day, the newspapers were actually friendly to things like this. So
yeah, and he was used similarly like that in Scotland as well. I mean, mm-hmm. it was a huge throng of people showed up to hear him preach, and he could occasionally cause some ecclesiastical difficulties for the local ministers. I mean, not everything was all sunshine and lollipops. Because this guy would, you know, kind of blow in from wherever and suddenly, be this major crowd. I don't have
members from my church anymore, you know. They're not attending on Sunday worship service because they're going to hear this guy.
There were some issues like that.
Yeah, I suppose, and, yeah. Yeah, 3,000 people attend. They're coming from somewhere. And when considering that a lot of people then were typically churched, you know, that's just, that's just the culture. I could see where there could be some bad blood.
Yeah, there was occasionally situations where the ministers felt like, you know, there was this sort of celebrity minister comes in and you know, itinerant guy, you know, preaches and could create some difficulties for them, and then the guy leaves, and they've got to kind of put the pieces back together.
We still have this kind of issue today because I hear from pastors like, yeah, I'm tired of my. My congregation comparing me to Chuck Swindoll or to John Piper or to, you know, this radio preacher, that radio preacher. Because now, you know, with the glut of radio ministry, which, of course, 99.3 Truth Network, you hear some fabulous preaching on this station, as well as, you know, you can download on demand on iTunes. You can subscribe to all sorts of podcasts and Tony Evans. And I mean, yeah, so... there's nothing new under the sun, really.
He was a celebrity preacher, to be sure, but he was very, very good at what he did. There's no question about that.
Absolutely. So, George Whitfield, we salute you.
Yeah, do we have any happy birthday music?
Probably not. No,
and
that'd be kind of corny anyway.
Well, I know, but that's why it would be appropriate for our show. Well,
that's true. But anyway, apparently, you know, we're also, we've commemorated his 300th birthday better than we did his 200th birthday, according to Thomas Kidd, anyway. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, yes. All right.
Our quote of the day is from Thomas Watson. Christ went more willingly to the cross than we do to the throne of grace.
Amen.
Another one of those sad but true things.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
See
you,
everybody.